Proverbs chapter 4 is where we're going to start this evening. That puts us just like this morning on page 556. Proverbs chapter 4 is where we're going to begin. And as we look here at Proverbs chapter 4, we enter a new discourse. So again, all we're going to make through it this time around as we're moving through Proverbs is through chapter 9. And it is after chapter 9 and chapter 10 and beyond where you get a lot of the what you think of Proverbs, you know, the fortune cookie ones, the wisdom in a sentence or in a quick pithy saying. But these first nine chapters that we're working through right now are all discourses. They're speeches, essentially, that a father is giving to his son, telling him about what it means to grow up righteous, what it means to be a godly person. And so these speeches are absolutely critical to all of us in all seasons. You might recall a movie called Secondhand Lions. You guys remember this one? This is a while ago now, but it was incredible. And it's worth a rewatch. It's about a young boy being raised by these two old guys who finds himself, you know, raised by them who are vaguely kin to him. And when he arrives at their farmhouse and a little startled to be on a farm for the first time, they say something to him along the lines of, "Now we're pretty old, and so we may, you know, kill off in the night. And if we do, you just take care of yourself. You'll be all right," is what they say to him. And in the course of him growing up with them, they talk about, there's this speech they have that every boy needs to hear before he becomes a man. And that's what we have here in Scripture in these nine chapters of Proverbs is here's what you need to do. It is simply the beginning of, all right, listen, children, this is what you have to do in order to be wise. And so these are so critically important to us as we continue to ourselves grow in wisdom and stature, but they're also important to us as we are raising up yet another generation to be godly men and women. Let's pray together and let's read. Father God, I pray that the reading of your word and the hearing of your word would be worship to you tonight. Father, help us to remain constant in our pursuit after you and knowledge and wisdom. Help us to remain passionate in our pursuit and help us also to instill in yet another generation a desire to reach out to you and to pursue you with their lives. Father, I pray for all these kids tonight who are overworking in choir right now. I pray that this choir program would help them to know you better, that in learning these songs, they would learn to sing about who you are and what kind of wonderful God you are. And I pray that you'd use this time and this season to help raise them up to be godly women and godly men. And this I pray in your name. Amen. Sorry to get carried away about children's choir. All right. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1. Listen, sons, to a father's discipline, and pay attention so that you may gain understanding, for I am giving you good instruction. Do not abandon my teaching. When I was a son with my father, tender and precious to my mother, he taught me and said, "Your heart must hold on to my words. Keep my commands and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't abandon wisdom. She will watch over you. Love her and she will guard you. Wisdom is supreme, so get wisdom. Whatever else you get understanding. Cherish her and she will exalt you. If you embrace her, she will honor you. She will place a garland of favor on your head. She will give you a crown of beauty." This is our text for tonight. The beginning of this discourse. The most important thing here that this man wants to communicate with his children, and that is, above everything else, get wisdom. Get understanding. Start here tonight in this way, and looking just at those first few verses about the way in which wisdom and understanding are gotten, the way that they are received is by being handed down, by being passed down. This father is saying, listen, sons, listen and pay attention to my words because I'm giving you good instruction. Saying, what's more, this is a generational thing even further back. I received these words from my father and mother as well. They taught me these same things. wisdom must be handed down in this way. It's not natural to us to know what is right and wrong. It's not natural for us to be good at honoring God. We must be taught these things. And so I say to you both, first, honor your father and mother by listening, by learning. Honor your father and mother when you're a child means, first of all, obeying them. But as we go on in life, it continues to mean listen and learn. The command does not go away when you become an adult, but rather you are to honor by listening and by learning. There are lessons for you from parents or even from those who are simply in a generation right beyond you and things to learn from them. Always the wisest people are the ones who spend the most time with the generation that precedes them, learning from them, because this is the way wisdom works. It is handed down. It is so good for each and every one of us to be able to be surrounded by Christians who are our own age. It's just good. In any phase of life you're at, this is why, you know, I say we don't necessarily age grade our Sunday school classes. There's not, you don't come and say, here's how old I am, what class do I go to? And it's not like adult 1, 2, 3, and 4. We have names for our classes because they tend to all take on their own personality. And in fact, you're sort of welcome in any of them. They do tend to age grade themselves. That's just sort of how it works out, and that's okay. It's good and right for all of us to be around people in the same phase and situation of life we are, to encourage each other and lift each other up. But we also, each one of us, at any age or phase, have to make room ourselves, have to pursue growing in wisdom from learning from people who are in other phases or who are just beyond us in years, who have things to teach us. This is important. We must honor each other in this way because this is the way wisdom is handed down. Now also, for you who are raising children right now, you who are parents, you who are grandparents who are raising children right now, there's a lot of you around here. There are a bunch of kids over there tonight. You who are raising children in any way, you who simply work at this church and hang around a bunch of other children, teaching them Sunday school, VBS, or working with them at Fall Festival, think hard about what it is you're teaching these children about God. Children are a blessing. Children are just a blessing. It's a blessing to even get to have some children. Not everyone who wants them can. And it's such a blessing for us to get to have what we do. So let's think hard and carefully about why God has put these children in our lives. It is primarily, and first and foremost, one, it's for our joy. It is a joy, even when it's not. But they are here, first and foremost, so that we can tell them about who God is. So think carefully, what are you teaching your kids? What are we teaching these children about who God is? If we're not concerted at this, if we don't actually work at it and put ourselves to teaching children or grandchildren about who God is, the years will go by and we will not really have taught them anything about who God is. Sort of a, ask yourselves, what have you told a child, a grandchild, or children around you? And just, let's not say even the last week. We'll give you extra time. Let's say the last month. The last month, what have you told a child or a grandchild about who God is? Because if we don't focus on it, even if we're very involved in these kids' life, we'll have missed the main purpose that we were in their life, and that was to tell them about how good God is, how much He loves them, and what He wants from them. I have friends who consider themselves Christians. Fair enough. And then they don't take their children to church. They don't go to church, which means the odds are bad that they actually open Scripture at the house. If you just look at it statistically, if you're not coming in on Sunday, then you're also probably not. It doesn't follow across the board. You're probably also not raising them well and teaching them Scripture outside of church. And then you see people who do this, who consider themselves Christians, consider themselves a Christian family, but and don't raise their children this way, and then are suddenly surprised when their children grow up and aren't Christians. But where would the surprise be? It's clear from this passage that wisdom and understanding, that knowledge about God, are something that must be handed down. This is the way God has designed it. And so, think hard and carefully about how you are teaching children about God and what you are teaching them about God. Furthermore, recognize that you're always being watched. Always being watched. Not necessarily critically. It's not like children are thinking about what you're doing yet. They're not critically examining your life. It'd be weird, you know, to have a young elementary child with a clipboard going, that's interesting. Yes, go on. I see you watching football over there, Dad. What's really going on? They're not thinking critically, and yet these things, it's like osmosis. It just gets into them, and it got into us too. And so we have to be the ones that are thinking critically on their behalf about what we're doing, about what they're seeing, and about what's going on. But it's not just in passive things. We also have to be specific and intentional in new ways and telling them about Jesus Christ as Lord. So I'd like for you to do tonight, again, child or grandchild, is on your own, make a decision to try a new way of raising them up right tonight. Again, child, grandchild, adult, grandchild, great-grand, doesn't matter. But what is a new thing that you can do in order to teach them about God? I might suggest to you a new song. Let's teach them a song. We know how to sing here, right? We're all about the singing. I've already told you to take a hymnal, and you can do that again. But teach this week, child, grandchild, great-grandchild, neighbor, teach a child a new song about God. It can be something as simple as, I've decided to follow Jesus. That's a real easy one. You don't need a hymnal for that. You just teach it to them. But teach a song to one of our children around here. They're learning a bunch about Christmas. That's right, and amen. But there's a simple one for you to be able to say, let's sing this song together and get Scripture, get God's praise into their mouths and into their minds and then into their hearts in that way. Another thing about this and the way this is passed down, as I was looking at this passage, I was reminded, I know another pastor who is kind of really hard on his kids and recommends a style of parenting that is almost like boot camp for raising children. And I don't necessarily think that's what's suggested here or in play here. Yes, we are to discipline children. A good father, it's written throughout Scripture, disciplines his children. A good mother disciplines her children. That is right. We are to discipline them and not just let them fall into their own mistakes. But home and parenting doesn't necessarily have to be a boot camp either. It can be a place for rejoicing, a place for teaching them well, even while disciplining them, to worship Christ joyfully. The next thing that you see here is not necessarily for others, it is for ourselves. And that is, he says to his son, whatever it is that you need to do, whatever it is that you do in life, get wisdom. In verse 4, this king talks about his father and the wisdom that was handed down to him. He taught me and he said, your heart must hold on to my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Don't forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't abandon wisdom, and she will watch over you. Love her, and she will guard you. Whatever you do, you need to personally prioritize your own continued spiritual growth. This getting wisdom is a never-ending process for us. This idea of gaining understanding and continuing to pursue God and knowing God, it doesn't end. Because of the nature of who God is. At no point do you gain mastery over Him or mastery of the knowledge over Him. And so we continue to prioritize knowing God well. And there's a lot of different ways to do it. But we need to ourselves, just like we're resolving to teach something new to a child tonight, ourselves have to make a step. How will I prioritize for myself growing in wisdom or understanding? At some point in your life, there may not be somebody else who is pushing you along the path and continuing to lead you towards wisdom and towards God. But at some point along the path, you can do this for yourself and start pushing yourself and driving yourself towards God. As this father says to this son, that what he heard from his father, get wisdom, get understanding, do it for yourself. You have to. A part of this is why I'm continuing to pursue this PhD like I have been. I don't mean to mention it a lot. I do want to mention it so that you know you're getting your money's worth out of me. I don't want to mention it. It's not like, getting smart. I'm not. I'm kicking and screaming. Maybe I'm getting something. But a part of this is me. I live with not rightly, but it's there, you know, that fear of 20, 30 years from now being that pastor who still kind of hasn't himself continued to grow spiritually, hasn't continued to grow in wisdom and understanding, and so is kind of saying the same stuff that he was 20 and 30 years earlier, and hasn't continued to grow in knowledge or understanding. And I kind of live with that fear, and so myself have likewise been pushing myself to continue to know God better, to let it be a never-ending task, to know what God has been doing in history, to know what God is saying through Scripture and how other the saints who've gone on before us have understood it. That's what I do. This is not to say that this is what you need to do. This is simply to say that through all avenues, there needs to be a way in which we are each individually, in a very concerted and focused way, continuing to press ourselves forward to knowing God better, however that is and whatever it does. It's always a joy to be humbled by other brothers and sisters in Christ who know Scripture so much better than I do and have very little formal education at all. I mean, even into middle school education, not having that, there are plenty of saints out there who know God's Word so much better than I do. And it's a joy to be humbled by them, to be taught by them, because formal education is good. It is one tool in the toolbox to pursuing God. Go after it if it's something that you can do or desire to do. But there's a lot of other ones. All of it really is about knowing God's Word better and what He says. I thought about this for a while and tried to calculate what I'm going to say. I want to say it's possible that throughout history, since Christ ascended into heaven until now, more Christians, of all the Christians who have lived, people who have trusted Christ with their lives, and even today, it's possible that more of them were illiterate than literate. And yet, of the many, many people who have gone on before us, following Christ with their life, who could not read or write, they were still able to simply memorize Scripture and know it. That is to say, whatever position you find yourself in life, get wisdom, get understanding, pursue after it in any way you can, in any avenue you can, because it is critical for you becoming the kind of person that God wants you to be. I was recently asked to, and this happens from time to time, to just go share the gospel with somebody who was in very poor health. And so I went recently to go share the gospel with somebody who was in very poor health. And this gentleman, you know, I go to talk to him and I tell him who I am and I simply say, I'd just like to pray for you and this situation that you're in life and this poor health that you're in, but you know, let me talk to you about salvation. You know, if you die today, do you know that Christ would receive you? And I talked about sin and I talked about judgment. I shared the gospel with him and I was, you know, part of me expects a yes or no answer on these things. Either a, you know what, I'm ready to follow Christ. Or a, no, you know, I don't want to, I'm out. But so frequently there's some sort of middle answer, soupy sort of, yeah, I'm good on that one, I know that one, but here's what I really need. You know, that their focus was never along the gospel lines, or they didn't understand the sorts of words that I was saying or what it was that I was sharing, how critical this gospel message was that they hear and understand. And it's always more sad sometimes than even a no, it's not, but it's just as disappointing that even at that point in life, this gentleman and many others that you or I might have talked to, they don't even have yet the frame of wisdom or understanding to be ready to hear the gospel and to know their need for it. I'm saying we're all sinners. You, sir, are a sinner, but Christ will be your Savior if you will have Him. And then I'm hearing back the same canary answer of, you know, I live my life pretty well. I think God would accept me. Did you hear what I said? You're not. All right. What does it take to get to that point where you realize you have enough wisdom to realize you can't do this on your own and you need Christ? Let it not be us. Rather, if you're hearing tonight, find a way for yourself, a new method, a new avenue, a new channel of knowing God better. The question will be how? How do we go about continuing to gain wisdom and understanding? If it's not that complicated, then give me it simple. How can I continue to grow in knowing God well? Well, the easy start is coming to church. It's a good start. I mean, you check this one off. There's all kinds of studies going on because of the shifting political landscape and the amount of people who identify themselves as evangelical, and nobody seeming to know what that word is, but that word gets used quite a bit. There's a lot of study about what church attendance means in this world, because the idea is if you're giving somebody a survey and you ask them, by and large, still in this country, if you ask them, you know, are you a Christian? The answer is going to be yes, whether they are or aren't, whether they can tell you the gospel or not. So the answer is, you know, are you evangelical? The idea is that you're supposed to be, so you should say yes to this question. It has nothing to do with actually how you live your life, because the word doesn't actually have a concrete meaning. And so you have plenty of people who identify that way, and then it skews these numbers about what evangelicals apparently do and don't do and believe and don't believe. But there is one concrete piece of information that really changes things. Church attendance changes every statistic. There was, 15 years ago, a statistic was going around about how people who attend church and people who don't attend church, the rates of divorce are the exact same. And it wasn't true. That statistic was floated around a lot of places, but really what it was people who identify themselves as Christian or don't identify themselves as Christian. Because a lot of people were identifying themselves as Christian that weren't pursuing Christ at all. But when you really look at the statistics about success in marriage, if you actually come to church together, it gets much, much, much better. Like, the results are much better. So how will you go about prioritizing growing in wisdom? You know, gathering together to worship Christ is number one, and it is one of the easier ones. And so you've got a good start. Don't fail to meet together. The how, as far as how do we pursue wisdom, is it's easier than you think it is. Continue to read Scripture together, and then continue to poke. Continue to tinker. Continue to ask questions about what the word means and think about what's being said. And continue to write things down that you're reading or you're thinking. Continue to mark in Scripture what you've read and then read it again. You really can't do too much. You can continue on in any way you can. And when in some spiritual discipline or practice, you kind of run into a dead end, you run into a wall, then pick up another one and continue to pursue Christ. I'm reminded, there was a time in college, one of my roommates from college, still one of the smartest people I know, he made a perfect score on the SAT, and he went to college for free because of it, and so that's, so I generally had thought of myself as a smart person, but then that was my roommate, that's what I had as a comparison point, and so it was what it was for a couple of years there. But we decided one time in our spiritual fervor, our young men, you know, wanting to pursue Christ, we were going to get up really early in the morning as soon as the cafeteria opened. So really early in the morning for us, it was like 7 a.m. But, you know, as soon as the cafeteria opens, we're going to be like the first people in the cafeteria and go get our cafeteria-style breakfast. But then we were going to sit, and nobody else gets up for breakfast at 7 a.m. At a college. And so we were going to go and sit, you know, in a corner of a table by ourselves and just read Scripture. And what we'd do is we just take a short book from the New Testament, like Philippians, where Philippians, like, four chapters, you can read through it fast. If you were to just read through it from beginning to end, you can do it in, I don't know, 20 minutes. You time it and tell me. But you can do it quickly. So we said, we'll just take turns reading through the entire book over breakfast every day for the whole week. You read it, and then I'll read it. And just once, one reading through each day, and then we'll call it quiz, we'll be good. And then maybe next week we'll do another book. And this practice lasted for maybe like 2 weeks. And it was really cool for a little while, right? It didn't turn us into like the spiritual gurus that we thought we were going to become, but it was really cool for a little while. And then after a little while, we just glazed over and weren't, you know, listen to what the other person was saying. We stayed up too late the night before anyway. And so, you know, we could finish that morning and be like, we could have been reading Exodus for all I know, because I have no idea what you just said in that time. The point of all this is pursue Christ in every little way you can. And if that particular discipline stops yielding fruit for that season, that's all right. Jump onto another one, but don't lose track of continuing to pursue Christ in every way you can. Because sometimes the thing that you're doing will start to lose help for you at that moment and in that season. But just find another one and continue to pursue Him. If you get bogged down in one book of the Bible, it's okay to turn to another one. Just keep going and continue to pursue wisdom no matter what. Last thing that we see here is wisdom is, again, personified like a person. Moreover, as a king speaking to his sons, he talks about her as this beautiful woman, is what wisdom is. Verse 5, get wisdom, get understanding, do not forget or turn away from the words of my mouth. Don't abandon wisdom. She will watch over you. Love her. She will guard you. Wisdom is supreme. Get wisdom. Whatever else you do, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. If you embrace her, she will honor you. She will place a garland of favor on your head. She will give you a crown of beauty. Wisdom here is like a woman that he needs to pursue. And so it is for all of us. Love and pursue wisdom like a close friendship, like somebody that you have to go after here. There is, simply the way this goes, the relationship that said young man, son of the king, will end up pursuing more than any other is a wife. That's what's going on here. As far as relational pursuits go, you ought to have a good friend like David and Jonathan. There's a very clear picture of a future king and having a best friend, but there's a relationship you pursue even further than that, and this would be a relationship with a young woman who would be a good queen, would be a good wife for you. So you know what it's like to have a really close, really good friend, but you know even more so what it's like to pursue someone that you're in love with and that you want to know everything about and you want to go after. That's the way that you go after wisdom. You go after like falling in love, like wanting to know everything about some other person. Relationships need nurturing. They need to continue on in conversation and being around, or it becomes, after a while, a relationship in name only. It will be just like that with wisdom and understanding for you. If you consider yourself a Christian but are not pursuing Christ and knowing Christ, you get to the point where it's like having a relationship that's just a relationship in name, because you haven't been pursuing the thing that you're looking for. You haven't been nurturing this relationship. For example, I had a hamster when I was a child. My parents were pretty wise parents. This probably wasn't a good decision on their behalf, at least not for the hamster. I neglected that relationship. The hamster died a grisly death. Is it all right for us? Yeah, we needed a joke here. Is it all right for us to say, is it an okay point to say pursue Christ, not like how I pursued the raising my hamster? But you need to actually, if that's your faith with Christ, if that's your life with Christ, like a child with a pet that they ignore, you're not making it. You're not doing well. They didn't learn the first time. Then I had a hermit crab. Also died a grisly death. That didn't go well either for that poor thing. It's surprising that poor Virgil has made it 12 years so far, that little dog. Yeah, bless him. I was like the girl in the dentist office in the movie Finding Nemo, who was abusing the... I was not good at keeping animals. I thought I was. Not a spiritual gift of mine at the time. If this is what pursuing wisdom and pursuing understanding looks like for you, you might have a relationship in name only. Pursue knowing God all the better. Have a real relationship. Pursue knowing God not just like a close friend, not just like an old friend that you meet up with every now and again to catch up. You don't want to run into wisdom and understanding at the class reunion every now and again and say, let's do this again next year. You must pursue it like you would pursue a beloved spouse, to know completely and absolutely. And there's promises here if you do. The promise is this: cherish her and she will exalt you. Embrace her, she will honor you. She will place a garland of favor on your head. She will give you a crown of beauty. These are the rewards for following rightly after God and pursuing wisdom and understanding completely and wholly. Doing so has its own intrinsic rewards. But also, there is a reward waiting for us when Christ returns. So, raise children rightly, all of them around you. Honor fathers and mothers by listening, by watching, and by learning the lessons. Prioritize for yourself growing in wisdom and understanding, or to say it just like the proverb says it, It's almost like he grabs him by the collar. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Love and pursue wisdom like you would your beloved. Love and pursue wisdom every day of your life. This is God's will for you. If you do this, there's such joy from God to be had for each and every one of us. Let's do it together. Father God, I thank you so much, again, that you've been so patient with us. I thank you. You've not left us alone to try and figure it out, but that you've given us those who have gone on before us and those who had gone on before them. Father, help us to be diligent and growing in wisdom and understanding and pursuing after you. Father, I pray again for all these sweet kids. I pray that you'd raise them up to be godly men and women. And this I pray in your name. Amen.